think it was a big building year for the girls, and when we return this year, that is definitely in the back of our minds, and hopefully that'll create some hunger to go over the top this year.
The Haynes Glacier Bears girls basketball team, the first in a four-part basketball preview. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Bern Power. That story and more coming up. Here's a story for Bibliophiles. In the 3 years since Southeast Alaskan institution Sheldon Jackson College in Sitka has closed, there has been much attention directed at the efforts of the trustees to settle the school's debts while leaving something behind for some future institution. That legacy will not include a library. Earlier this year, Sheldon Jackson's trustees announced that a transaction was underway to sell the Stratton Library to the state for just over $2 million. The building will join the Sheldon Jackson Museum next door and become part of the state museum system. But only the building is going to the state. The future of the collections inside is a longer story. Local librarians have been working hard to redistribute the most valuable items in the Stratton collection. In December 2010, the public had an unusual opportunity to buy books right off the shelf. KCAW's Robert Woolsey attended the sale and filed this report.
Have they done these?
I don't want to disrespect the collection because it's a phenomenal collection, but it's a collection without a home.
Ginny Blackson was Sheldon Jackson College's last librarian. She knows down to the last Dewey decimal point what's in this building.
48,000 individual books, most of which are part of a general liberal arts academic collection. You walk into any small liberal arts college in America and those books will be there. There are novels, there are educational materials, there's literary criticism. There's really something for everyone.
I'm Frank Roth, and I taught at Sheldon Jackson for 30 years. It's called Anabaptism, A Social History by Clausen. It's the University of Cornell Press. And there I found it. Oh, my. It's a wonderful book.
And you have a second book there, too.
Well, this English Modern English Usage by Fowler. And my father had a copy of that in our kitchen table, and he was trying to make us speak perfect English.
I'm Stephanie Ask. I've got a ton of good stuff. I filled up two huge boxes, actually. I'm trying to escape now before I get more.
What are you looking for, mainly?
In particular, I'm looking for books that I can use in my classroom, and I also found some really good plays that maybe we can use. I'm just amazed that I can get these books in such high-quality condition for such an incredibly cheap price. I mean, there have been some really great steals here, so I'm leaving with a smile on my face.
Stephanie Ask teaches English and theater at Sitka High School. It's interesting that several boxes of Stratton books are headed to her classroom, since that's pretty much where they came from. For most of Sheldon Jackson's 129-year history, books were stored in the school's classrooms. Stratton was built in 1974, and the collection assembled by Dr. Evelyn Bonner under the Library of Congress cataloging system. Her disapproving glower seems to haunt this sale for those of us who remember her. Breaking up a library is a difficult undertaking on many fronts.
My name is Bill Davis, and I'm shopping primarily for Alaskana stuff. To tell you the truth, I'm looking also for Nancy's studies that she donated to the library a long time ago, of which we found one or two. Some are missing.
Davis and his wife, Nancy Yaw Davis, are uncharacteristically somber today. Nancy is a published academic anthropologist. Her father, Leslie Yaw, was president of Sheldon Jackson during what will probably become known as its heyday in the middle of the last century.
That's an emotional tie that's one that you can try to get some distance from, but it's not easy. It's kind of a heart-wrenching experience to walk into a library and see all these wonderful resources and wonder what's going to happen to them.
For many close to the college, the eventual disposal of the Stratton collection has loomed large. Ginny Blackson, who now works at Sitka High School, and other members of the Sitka Library Association have worked relentlessly to ensure that irreplaceable materials have been protected. Blackson, in fact, within 2 weeks of the school's closure, made arrangements to loan the National Park Service 850 glass plate negatives taken by the early Alaskan photographer E.W. Merrill. The Park Service likely will purchase the plates. Likewise, an extensive collection of early 20th century Alaskana, collected by customs agent C.L. Andrews, has been given to Sitka's Kettleson Library. Over 3,000 books from Stratton's less rare Alaskana collection and some of its general academic collection are now circulating at Kettleson, Mount Edgecombe High School, and the Sitka School District Libraries, known collectively as the Sitka Library Consortium. Stratton's theological collection has been shipped out to Alaska Christian College in Soldotna, which has just constructed a new library. The Sitka tribe took 12 shelves full of Stratton's Native American collection for their new library. The Sitka Fine Arts Camp took part of the arts collection. The Sitka Sound Science Center took books specific to hatcheries and fisheries biology. Carrie Sagel, the librarian at Blatchley Middle School, made sure that Stratton's folklore collection was removed intact and placed with the consortium. Most of this work of boxing and shipping the various collections was funded by a state resources rescue grant. What's left at Stratton could be called the best of the rest, but for many shoppers like Trista Patterson, browsing in a library and browsing in a bookstore are worlds apart.
How you put a value on a library is nothing that I can really even wrap my brain around. So what I was looking for was just the experience. And then you get inside and you see, you know, Louise May Alcott and Thoreau and all of these incredible, unique pieces of work from Native history and Alaskan history.
Patterson is an academic and economist. She's not happy to see a library collection, a part of the commons, privatized. On the one hand, she thinks it reflects our times. On the other, it's better than the alternative.
I wouldn't want any of these books to get wasted in any way. So if they can go to great people that will really appreciate them, then all the better.
Around 30,000 books remain in Stratton. The Sitka Library Association plans at least one more sale before the building is transferred to the state. Reporting from the Stratton Library on the campus of the former Sheldon Jackson College in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Yes.
It's basketball season again in the Upper Lynn Canal, and the Haines and Skagway girls and boys teams are sharpening their skills to go back on the road, or should we say the ferry. KHNS News presents the first in a four-part series of basketball previews, which will eventually look at both the girls and boys Panthers and Glacier Bears teams for 2011. We start with Haines girls coach Brian Elliott, who discusses the state of the Lady Glacier Bears in 2010.
We beat Mount Edgecombe during the regional tournament to make it to the championship game, and then we narrowly lost two games to end our season. But I think it was a big building year for the girls, and when we return this year, that is definitely in the back of our minds, and hopefully that'll create some hunger to go over the top this year. So in the first couple months, we just try to get them familiar with basketball again and really stressing fundamentals, taking care of the ball, not turning it over, playing good defense. And for us, I expect to see a lot of zone defenses this year because we have some strong post players, so we've been focusing on that in practice and using our full court presses to really just spur our entire play. The girls really seem to respond to that, so we're definitely going to be a pressing team this season like we have in previous years.
The Haines girls have already played a non-conference tournament. Coach Elliott tells us more.
We went to Petersburg for the Little Norway tournament that was over mid-December, December 15th through the 17th. We played three games down there, started out a little raw. We had a lot of players that stepped up and got a lot more minutes than they were used to. Generally, over the 3 days, we smoothed things out and then had a real good victory against Petersburg the last day. And so that kind of helped catapult us into strong practices and getting ready for conference season, which starts this weekend.
Elliott goes on to explain the strengths of the returning hoop veterans.
We have two seniors this year and then a real strong junior and sophomore class. So we have several, I'd say about 12 returning players. Building the program up, we have a lot of freshmen that came out for basketball this year. We currently have 19 players participating in the program, which is great, and that's over double of what we had a few years ago, so it's pretty encouraging to see the level of participation. We've had a lot of improvement out of our sophomore and junior class. I've noticed a big difference between where they left off last year and where they are this year, and that's due to just mental and physical maturity. Yeah, we have about a real strong varsity group of about 9 or 10 players, and I really see any of them as interchangeable.
So what's coming up in conference play? Haynes girls coach Brian Elliott.
We actually go back to Petersburg for our first road series against the Vikings, and then we go to Sitka. Our first home series is in Haynes, and that is January 21st. So the boys start out with a couple home series, and then we're at home. One exciting thing for us is we got into the Elks tournament in Valdez, Alaska, and that's going to happen in the first week in February. It's a pretty prestigious tournament. Has some of the best girls teams in the state up there. It's an 18 tournament, and so that's a big opportunity for us. It's an off weekend in our conference schedule, so I expect to get a lot of good experience from going up there. We're also going to try to schedule a couple games with Skagway because they have an excellent girls team that went undefeated last year. So that's a great opportunity for us to play each other a couple times and get some more home games in.
Join KHNS News tomorrow as we continue our basketball preview series. And listen this weekend as KHNS airs the Haynes Girls Basketball Tournament in Petersburg on the 7th and 8th. This is Burn Power for KHNS News. Tara Bicknell returns in January.